Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
Ruskin and Zach back with you, 866-285-4005. Danielle Musselman is going to stop by here in about a half hour or so on the Williams Tractor Hotline, and we'll see what's going on the Musselman house, what the real story is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's for dinner? We hear from Eric Musselman all the time, but what's the real story going on there? So we'll talk to Danielle about it coming up here later on this hour. Good to have you here. Ruskin and Zach, 866-285-4005 is the phone number. Rex from Hector says, there's nothing in life that's 100%. The next virus can start here. You can't live your life afraid. And Zach replied, yes, you can.
Been doing it for years.
Right.
Look. Right.
Fear. Fear everywhere.
I'm not willing to risk my kids. If you're willing to risk yours, go ahead. Go ahead.
The survival rate.
I understand
among
that.
People who do not have an underlying health condition is like 90-something percent here.
Okay. I got it. I understand what you're saying. But when it comes to my children, now if you're asking me, would I do it? Probably. I think. But my children, no. I'm that dad. I like to wrap my kids in bubble wrap.
It's not a tenable solution. And there's going to be a lot of people who do not feel the way you feel. And that doesn't make them any worse of a parent, by the way.
No, it doesn't. It's going to trickle down to eventually, it's going to be an individual choice. Are you willing to go out there? Or are you willing to send your kids out there?
Well, what's going to be another thing that's going to be curious to see develop is if you can have some sort of fan presence, who's willing to go? A lot of people are going to be willing to go. I mean, look at when they open the parks up again.
Yeah.
Look at how many people will be there. There are a lot of people out there that are tired of being stuck inside and being told what to do. They are willing to risk whatever risk there is, small or large or whatever it is, and they're just going to go for it. I mean,
we in the state of Arkansas have also been very, very lucky. It has not been bad here. Our leaders have done a very good job managing this. We don't live in New York or Tampa or wherever these massive LA, massive outbreaks are. We haven't seen truly what this thing does and how fast it spreads. We've been pretty much insulated. I think some perspective will also change. I have family that lives in North Jersey. I've talked to them. It's rough. It's very rough. They're afraid. And hearing them tell me about, I mean, they're chastising me. You can go to work every single day and go to work. Clean the studio, go to work. They can't envision that happening for them for a very, very long time.
No.
So some perspective is helpful. Kudos to our elected leaders. They have done they've pushed every right button to this point. You know, they were getting hammered nationally for not closing down the state when they didn't really have to. And now they're going to open up the state after other states.
But they're doing it smartly. They're not just throwing a switch at noon on Friday and say, everybody,
okay, you can go back to
ollie oxen free. Yeah, I mean,
they are doing it in a very cautious manner. And yes, it's a bit of an inconvenience for some of us, but again, I'd rather be around in 20 years than have another massive outbreak. Just a thought.
No. I feel so over my skis when we have... This is why we don't have a lot of discussions like this, because I feel so over my skis having this discussion. Because I don't know duty from Shinola about any of this stuff, really. I know what the people I know what certain experts who you feel like you can trust say on this, and that's about it. I mean, that's
why I keep telling it. It's an individual decision, and the only way that I can sort of rationalize all this is, okay, am I going to let my daughter play sports this summer? No, I'm not. Now, is she going to, is her jump shot going to sound like, a brick come September? Yeah, probably, but that's okay.
But you're saying that today, if you don't know how you're going to feel on May 30th or May 15th or June 1st.
Right now.
Right.
I've read enough about this where I don't feel comfortable sending her into a public space. I don't want her in a group full of kids shooting a basketball. It's just, I don't want them, bumping into each other. Just maybe I will exercise some caution with my daughter.
No.
It's just And it again, it'll come down to an
but if individual. She gets it, there is a very, very, very low likelihood she will die.
Okay. But as her parent,
like, she's more likely for a plane to hit the other end of the building right now and crash into her.
Understand.
Than this taker.
Why, as her parent, I would feel irresponsible as her parent putting her in harm's way if there was a way around it.
But if they say it's safe, you're not putting them in harm's way.
But
if
they say it's again, safe. It is April the 30th, and they are not saying it is safe.
Right. I understand that.
Now, if they come out, you know, on May 30th and you're, go, my bad.
You're proceeding as if what we know today is the end of all of this. This is all we're ever going to know. That's not the way this is.
No, I'm proceeding it as this is the latest information that I have, and this is how I'm going to operate with her right now. You tell me in 30 days, you've got something.
But you'll send her to a school every year where she could get the flu at an elementary school.
We're going to find out. I'm gonna be real interested come fall.
I mean the years before this.
Yeah, because I didn't have information on this. I didn't know what this was until 2-3 months ago.
No, but the flu has been around forever.
Sure.
And that can kill you.
Yes.
And it's very easy to get in large places like schools and mm-hmm. gyms and stuff like that. And you've done nothing to this point at all.
Consider me better educated now. Will I take that into consideration if there's a massive flu outbreak? Yes, I will. Absolutely, I will. Again, it's individual. And this all started with Greg Sankey just laying the groundwork for the SEC to play 9 football games.
I don't give a damn if they play or if they are the only league playing. I'm going to watch. I'm going to turn on every TV in my house and watch so they get more ratings, so all the schools get more money. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to tell everybody in the neighborhood, hey, turn the TV. There's football on. Turn it on. I don't care. If they say that, if they think they can go, go. Don't wait. Go. If they have the people telling them, do it, do it. Don't wait.
Okay.
That's what I say.
You have a mask, right?
Yeah.
Why? If this doesn't kill you, why do you wear a mask?
That's for now. That doesn't mean I'm going to have to wear it for the rest of my life.
No, but you're operating though. Under the same assumptions that I am, which is we don't know.
You don't wear a mask to the
store.
No,
I don't. Because I'm ready to go. I'm just waiting. I mean, somebody take me, please. But again, I'm making decisions for her. She does. When she's out in public, yes, she does.
No.
It's we don't know everything. So I'm in the boat. Why take unnecessary precautions? Or may take unnecessary risks. Take every precaution.
No.
That's the only thing I'm saying.
Well, if they play and they're the only league playing, I'd go for it. Because they're going to figure out how to do this with these sports. And I know some sports may not happen. I think that they're going to figure out a way to do this. And if Saturdays are open and there's no college football, the NFL is going to have games on. So, I mean, there's going to be something to do.
Now, the NFL is a different. Those are grown adults making decisions for themselves. Right. That's a different argument. Professional sports are different.
No.
You know, one texter sent in, well, they're not going to have games unless there's people on campus anyway. Yes, this is going to eventually, this is all going to funnel back through the university presidents. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to be those guys under any circumstances. You can make fun of them all you want for some of the dumb things they do. I would not want to be the guy that has to sign off on that piece of paper that says, yeah, we're going to do this. I would not want that. That is a rough thing.
Your argument is just, let's never play again.
No,
that's not what you're saying.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. You're saying until we can have 100% certainty that everything's safe, don't play. Well, that may never happen. So we're never going to play again?
As we sit here on April the 30th, are you comfortable restarting sports?
Not today, no.
Okay. I'm saying let's wait until we are sure.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Sankey laying the groundwork.
This is a stupid-ass argument. You are so just dumb-ass wrong here. I just can't even articulate how stupid your position is on this discussion.
Here's the stupid. Difference. Here's the difference.
Wait and see? Yes, that's what we're doing.
Here's the difference.
Christ almighty.
I have a child that plays sports. You don't. I would not say, and I'm looking at it from the eyes of the parents who are going to send these kids out there.
But you've been fine.
fine doing what?
Sending them to school all these years where they can get God knows what, and it could kill them.
Right. Didn't know.
Why is this the Marginot line?
Because I know a lot about this now, and I've watched this thing grow. Yes. Am I scared to send my child back to school? Hell yes, I am. Yes. I'm sorry if you don't take that into consideration, but I do.
You're being a baby about this.
Am I? Well,
yes.
Protecting my child or children, thinking like a parent, is being a baby
but
about
you're,
this?
But you're making a straw man argument. You're saying if I would not send my parent back today to school. Well, no one can. So that's an easy position to make.
Okay.
If you don't, there's no way to answer any of these other questions.
Let me put it another way. Come August, am I really going to sit down and think about this? Hell yes, I am.
But yes. You don't know what kind of information you'll have on August.
100%. You're absolutely correct. But as I sit here today, which is all that I can do, am I thinking about August? Yes. Absolutely I am.
But there's no way.
There's no way to know. But I am going to protect my child as best I can today.
Well, but that decision's been made for you. So, I mean, that's...
Has it?
Yeah, I mean, the schools are closed. Yes.
We can go anywhere we want right now. We can get up and go.
The schools are closed.
We can go. I can take her to Walmart. We can do anything we want.
But right the now. Schools are closed.
The schools are closed.
That decision's been made for you.
Come August 15th. Am I going to have a decision to make? Yes, I am.
If the schools are open, you're going to have a decision to make?
Absolutely.
You're going to keep homeschooling?
I might.
Nobody else is, by the way. Everyone hates this. Everyone hates this.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. 866-285-4005.
Hey, Daniel Musselman's coming up.
That's right. There's still not a vaccine for SARS. Let's all stay at home and be scared of that, too, by the way.
Unbiased and unafraid.
This is Reskin and Zach.
Back with you here on Reskin and Zach, this 98th day of March or whatever it is now. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the Williams Tractor Hotline right now. Danielle Musselman is there. Danielle, how are you?
Hi. You know, I'm just like how you guys are. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I don't know where I am.
We have our intern actually every day. It's her job to tell us what day it is. Because honestly, they're just starting to run together.
Yeah,
I know, and it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. So what's a day like at your house? Everybody's got this routine that they're on now. What's the routine like at the Musselman house right now?
So we're up at right around 7 o'clock, and usually Eric's out of the house by 7:30. He still gets to go into the office, so that really is a saving grace for all of us. So his day, honestly, it hasn't changed. I mean, can you imagine if he was here 8 hours a day driving everyone insane? That would work. So he's out of the house. My daughter gets up about 8. I try to, like, knock out my workout before I start homeschool. Otherwise, the workout doesn't happen. I have a Peloton bike. It has saved my life during this quarantine, so I get my exercise in, and then we start homeschool, and we do that until about noon, 12:30 at the latest, get some lunch, and then the rest of the day we are just figuring out something to do to entertain ourselves. Luckily, it's been, you know, nice weather, so we're trying to take advantage of the outdoors, bike rides and hiking, and that's about it.
So when Eric gets home from work, do you have to, like, plan a schedule for him and go, okay, look, this is an intense personality, and, like, I need you to do X, Y, Z before before you're turned loose?
No, but I need to, because basically usually he comes home and we eat dinner, and then if it's up to him, he'll start doing more basketball. And, like, at that point, I'm like, you got to stop. You got to, you know, you got to get off the phone. You got to put away the iPad. So, if it were up to him, he would just get right back on the phone and be calling people and doing research and all that kind of stuff. But I force him to get off, walk around the neighborhood, go for a little bike ride, you know, do something other than basketball.
We're talking with Danielle Musselman here on Ruskin and Zach. Does he have any hobbies? Is there anything that does he have interests that we don't know about? Like,
no,
Civil War reenacting or anything like that?
you find an intercity has, let me know, because I haven't seen any in 12 years. Now, he really likes his workout. He likes to get that in. And honestly, we're like, I tell people we're Netflix and chill people. So really, at the end of the day, after my daughter goes up to her own room, we really do enjoy like getting in bed together and watching whatever it is that we watch. And
what are you watching, just out of curiosity?
So we are on Money Heist right now. Have you guys seen that one? It's on Netflix.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's good. It was recommended by my stepson. We were on Ozark, but we finished that. We had to move on, and that's what we're on. I've got to go back and finish Homeland, too. That's also on the list.
Okay. You're the smartest person on this phone call. If you're going in, if you're going into a bar fight and your life depends on walking out, are you walking in with Helen, Ruth, Wendy, or Darlene?
Oh, I'm going Wendy.
Really?
Wow. Season 3, she just brought the ruthless.
We had the actor Darren Goldstein, who plays Charles Wilkes, on the show. We had him on a couple weeks ago, and he said that Darlene is your choice because, well, no, he said Ruth was your choice.
Ruth. Sam Pittman said Darlene.
Yeah, Sam Pittman said Darlene, and his reasoning was Darlene could kill everybody because she's just psychotic.
She killed her husband, yeah. So that...
No. Yeah, and talked trash to him
Wendy
as he was dying.
Brother. Wendy killed her brother, though.
Yeah. We should point out that could be a spoiler for some of you that haven't seen all of season 3 yet, but it's not our fault.
But it's not our fault, so yeah.
You're good. You should have seen it by now. They should have seen it by now.
So you guys have been, it feels like you guys have been in Arkansas for like 20 years. I mean, it feels like Eric Musselman has been the head coach at Arkansas
in a good way.
In a very good way, because you guys have just sort of integrated into the community. What has this last 380 days been like for you guys, just getting to know the people in the state of Arkansas? Because it feels like you've been here forever.
It really does. It's been awesome. I'll start off by saying that. And I have to attribute, the majority of that to just the people of Arkansas, because we were so immediately welcomed in. And I don't mean just by like Razorback fans. I mean by like our neighbors. And they're just incredible. Like just right off the bat, my daughter had two best friends. The people next door were telling her where she can, you know, join a dance team. The people across the street were throwing us a welcome to Fayetteville party. So we just felt really comfortable immediately just in, you know, in the community. So that was awesome. It's just crazy because people don't realize how, like, when Eric got this job, it was like, it happened so fast. We got on a plane, we came here for the press conference, and then he immediately started work. And I had to, you know, finish our life up in Reno. And so that went on for about 3 months where we were separated and he was here and we were there. And that's kind of tough to get through. And I'm, you know, packing up, selling a house, at the same time trying to buy a house. So it's like 3 months of just kind of chaos, to be honest. And then we get here and we moved in June, and that was right in the middle of like summer workouts. So we're trying to meet the players and, you know, we're doing all these different things with the players, and then the season happens. So it just all, with the move, it all happens so fast. And so it's kind of, you know, it's almost like a blur, and the season goes by so incredibly fast. And you know, thinking back at different parts of the season, you know, it started off so great. And then I remember at a point when Joe was injured and we had a tough stretch, it felt like the worst stretch that he's ever had since we've been together. And then the season kind of ended on a high note. And I look back, I'm like, you won 20 games. You know, that was awesome. Bud Walton was packed, and we went, you know, we looked back at the season as a success, but it wasn't without its peaks and valleys. And just, I mean, to cap it off, then you go right from that into this whole deal with the coronavirus changing life for everybody as you know it. So, I mean, it's been an insane year for us, to say the least.
I'm talking with Danielle Musselman here on Ruskin and Zach. I've been going to games in that building since 1993, Danielle, and I got to tell you, when Calipari got tossed out of that Kentucky game, you can count on maybe one hand the amount of times in 20-some-odd years that building has been like that. What was that experience like for you? And didn't just throughout the season. You mentioned the building being packed and alive almost night in and night out.
Okay, well, I have to be completely honest. You guys aren't even going to believe this. I was not at the Kentucky game.
Oh.
I, right? My cousin, it's like my best cousin who's been my closest. He got married in Mexico. And when the schedule came out, I'm like, what do I do, Eric? I can't even believe this. And he's like, well, you care about things like weddings and funerals. That's what he's like. That's a direct quote. He's like, you care about that. Like, so I'm the wrong person to ask. And so honestly, that comment, I knew that I needed to go to the wedding. I'm like, there's going to be another Kentucky game, you know. So I made the decision. I bought the tickets and me and my daughter went. And then I was like, the week when we were about to leave, I mean, they were playing so well. And then it looked like, you know, we might have a chance to actually beat Kentucky. It was so hard for me to not cancel my trip and to stay here. I was like heartbroken. So I missed that game, but I did watch it from Mexico. So that was good. But now looking at just some of the other games were just as exciting. And I mean, we have never called an arena as large as Bud Walton, our home arena. So just being part of that on a day in, day out basis was unbelievable. And it got so loud. It's so big. There's so many people in there and they are just hype. That's the best way I can describe them.
You guys are putting out these social media videos, which are, they're absolutely hysterical. The one where he's in the Bud Walton Arena and he's just things that were said on the internet and all, it's just hysterical. But I got to know, what are those staff meetings like? Because I assume that you and Mariah run these. And you're like, look, you're doing this, you're doing this, and you're doing this, and that's it. But who's coming up with these ideas? Because they are hysterical.
I'm not kidding you. He comes up with, I'm going to give him credit for 75% of those. Honestly, on the other hand, I'm the one who I'm like, yeah, you might not want to do that. I'm like, you got it. I'm the one that's I'm reeling him in because he's like a great basketball coach, you know, and his dad was a legendary basketball coach. And he is so funny and he's so engaging. But I keep saying, I go, I don't want people to forget that you're a basketball coach. Like, clearly, you know, you're great with this social media stuff and you're really good and entertaining and everything. But I'm like, I don't want people to forget that you're a real basketball coach, too. And so he'll be like, okay, maybe we won't put that one out.
I have an idea. Since it was so loud in Bud Walton when Calipari got tossed, could we get a reenactment and maybe get him to fill in the blanks as to what Calipari was saying?
It would not be safe. You can't.
Oh, it would sound like Morse code. It would just be beep, 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 beep. Get out. It's just an idea.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. But I mean, it was when this first started and people could not, you know, no one knew anything about when things were going to be normal. It was a nice kind of breath for a minute to kind of get a chuckle. I mean, it was an important, right. At that time, it was important to have something to you know, smile about very early on in this when we had no idea how long this thing was going to last.
Totally. Well, and people don't realize how, I mean, sports clearly are our life just because of what Eric does, but people don't realize just your, and you know, they're a huge part of your guys' life because of what you do. But your average person, I think, doesn't realize how much sports is such a huge part of their life. And I mean, we were like within 2 weeks, once there was no sports and we can't watch ESPN anymore because there's like, you know, a replay of some game I don't really want to see from 8 years ago. It's just like, okay, what do we literally were like, what do we do now? And I think a lot of people felt that way, and it's just a big part of your life missing. So I think his goal was just to say, hey, don't forget about Arkansas basketball. We're here. We're coming back. Just, you know, just hold on a little bit longer.
I want to ask you about the Facebook Lives and all the things that you guys do around recruiting. You know, you get when the kids sign their letters of intent, you've immediately got them and you're talking to them and you're doing these interviews. And I just know from my perspective, it makes both of you seem more human. And I know, like in our business, one to one is very, very important. It makes you approachable and touchable, and people just they sort of gravitate to you.
The players too.
Yeah, the players too. I it feels like it makes you guys more human. Was that even part of the consideration, or did you guys just go, ah, screw it, let's try this,
no,
and see what happens?
You know what? I mean, just because I spent my career working in media, I just said to him one day, I was like, you know what? We should do an Instagram Live because I looked out there, a lot of people were doing them. I'm like, let's just see how it goes. And the first time that we did one, it was without even any recruits. And we both just kind of put out on our social media, hey, send your questions for coach. And the response was like overwhelming with the number of questions and different things that we got. So we felt it was really successful. We were on for almost an hour. We could have talked for 2 hours based on the amount of questions. And so it just showed us that it was kind of important and people still wanted to, reach out and touch Arkansas basketball. And then once all of the kids started signing, people were hungry to hear from those kids. And so we just started doing more and more. And it was fun for me because I like interviewing Coach and giving him a hard time. And I think it was really fun for the people of Arkansas to kind of get to hear these kids, talking for the first time and not just the basketball stuff, but just hear fun stuff like who's their favorite NBA player and just that kind of stuff. I think it was cool for these people to already feel connected to these guys before they even step foot on campus.
We're talking with Danielle Musselman here on Ruskin and Zach. By the way, my mom, I told her what time you're going to be on today. And she's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to mute Jeopardy then to listen to the Danielle Musselman interview. So they're probably.
I love your mom. Hi, mom.
She has the same birthday as you, by the way, May 7th.
By the way, happy birthday. That's next week.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what? I decided that quarantine birthdays only count if you would like for them to count. And I'm not going to count mine. I'm going to be 42 for another year.
Okay. Mike Neighbors is on the exact same plan. He didn't get to have his birthday party, so he's redoing his 50th year.
100%. That's only fair.
Yeah. I'm going to get on board with this. This works for me.
So we won't keep you too much longer, but because I want my mom to be able to hear Final Jeopardy here in a little bit. But in any event, I do want to ask you, Danielle, about Donate Life Month. I know this is very important to you with what happened with your sister and her heart transplant. Just talk about that if you would.
Yeah, well, a lot of people know now because I started putting it out on social media, but it was crazy. Like I said, we moved here in June, and then in August, we found out that my younger sister needed a heart transplant, which was completely out of the blue. So just through that process, she got a heart a week after being placed on the transplant list. So now I'm just adding that to one of the causes that I'm really passionate about and really trying to talk about it this month because April is Donate Life Month. And actually, today is Donor Remembrance Day. So we just are thankful for the person that literally saved my sister's life. And it was almost 6 months ago to the day that happened. And so I just want to implore people to, if you're not an organ donor, just think about it. Think about it. And it's not just putting it on your driver's license. You actually need to go to the website, which is donatelife.net, and register that way. It takes literally all of 30 seconds. But there's over 100,000 people that are waiting for a transplant every single year. So one person donating their organs can save 8 lives. So why not do that? It's the ultimate gift that you can give. So thank you guys for letting me talk about that. But it's a passion of mine, and it's just impacted my life so greatly. And it's something that was never, 5 years ago, never even thought about being an organ donor or realized how important it was. But now that it's affected me, I need to share that with everybody.
If I could get you to set the record straight before we let you go, there were some pictures that surfaced on social media. I think it was last week. Coach was out fishing, and there are varying reports as to the level of success and who claimed the most fish.
So this is really funny. I didn't go. It was like a daddy-daughter thing, okay? Me and Eric were not like fishing people or anything like that, but my daughter loved it. So he tried to do his best for her. So they come back from the fishing trip, and Mariah's like, Dad, caught 2 fish. And I'm like, really, Mariah? That's awesome. And he says, well, he goes, I didn't actually catch 2 fish. I had 2 bites. I didn't reel them in. So Eric caught nothing, and Mariah caught 2. But she was so cute, though, because she really thought that her dad did awesome.
It's awesome. That's great. Danielle Musselman, our guest here on Ruskin and Zach on the Williams Tractor Outline. Well, we hope everybody is healthy and happy and doing the best they can with quarantine. And we'll talk again down the road. Thank you so much for the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time.
All right. Danielle Musselman with us here on Ruskin and Zach.
So he's not perfect. He's not a great fisherman.
That sounds like a Ruskin story. I caught two fish. No, you didn't wheel. You didn't reel them in.
You didn't save the kid.
Yeah. It's an assist.
Yeah,
it's not save.
You got a hold.
That's right. I got a hold.
You were holding a beer.
I didn't get a save.
You were holding a beer.
Not Trevor Hoffman. So there you go. All right. Appreciate her hopping on here again. The DonateLife.net is the website that she referenced there to register as an organ donor. As one person can save 8 lives. So do that. Help out.
I'd right. really love to see them do that video with the reenactment of Calipari getting tossed.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just be a bunch of beeps, but
yeah.
It'd still be funny.
I still...
Would you play the part of the referee?
When was that? Was that January?
February? January, I think.
I still feel regretful for my behavior in Section 209 or whatever it was. Double birding Calipari, screaming to the point of blowing my larynx out. I just... Terrible behavior by someone in their 30s.
Which are you more ashamed of, the double birds or the blowing your voice out?
Well, no one could hear me cursing because of all the noise. But the double birding, everyone could see. And that's, I'm not proud of that. That's not what you
need
to be
doing. That's not ladylike.
No, this isn't wrestling. This is college basketball. Come on. Calm down.
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
Back with you here on Ruskin and Zach. 26 minutes till the hour, and we go now to the Williams Tractor Hotline. Visit with the head coach of the Arkansas women's basketball team, Mike Neighbors, with us here on Ruskin and Zach once again. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Great. It's been a while since we've talked. So, yeah. Good to catch up with you boys.
It is. We have been reading some of the news in the last few weeks about you and what's going on with women's basketball. And I got to tell you, I mean, if you don't win now, I mean, good Lord. I mean, it is. You guys are crushing it right now.
Yeah, if we can find somebody to coach them, we got a pretty good team.
Right?
So, We're now hot on the trail of trying to find that person. So, but you obviously you know why we haven't talked now. That's I was talking with text with Zach. You know why now we haven't been doing as much. We've been working hard during this quarantine time. Staff's been amazing and got some stuff rolling, got some things going, and it's exciting.
This brings Zach to I think his first contention, a point of contention with you is he is upset you haven't finished Ozark. I'm willing to let it slide, considering what has happened over the last few weeks with the women's basketball program.
Thanks for siding with me. That's the first time me and you've been on the same side of this. I like it. I like this two sides.
I don't think everybody understands. This is about what I need, and what I need is I need you to finish Ozark so that we can have a substantive conversation.
I know, and I feel bad because I kind of feel partly responsible for turning you on to it,
right?
And now I'm finishing like I'm letting you down a little, and. And I do feel guilty. I promise you, though, I have tried several times, and I fall asleep. I'm telling you. I think it has more to do with JC being pregnant and being due any day than it does anything other than that. But I'm going to finish it. I promise you I will finish it before we go back on our campuses. How about that? Is that a deal?
Great. We don't know when that's going to be. Fantastic. Thank you.
That's kind of what I was going with. I was kind of going for that.
All right, so you guys dipped into the transfer portal. You get a big get. Yep. You're rounding out this roster. I mean, are there enough basketballs to go around?
Sure. Yeah. We ordered 4 more the other day, so we got plenty to go. I said it the other day to somebody. I said, listen, you know, when you get to year 4 and you get to where we're at, your practices need to be the hardest thing that you're doing. You know, your practices need to be so competitive that games seem easy, and I think we're going to have a roster that does that. I can really lock down now on academics too. It's going to be a bad time to miss biology lab. You know, that could be what separates who plays and who doesn't right now. So I think that's what we were all hoping to have, you know, eventually. I'm glad that we got it now. And it's going to create certainly a competitive cauldron that every single day is going to be important in everything that you do. And I think as a result, that's what these kids chose to come here for. And now we've actually got it.
Been some coaching changes, coaching turnover in the league. I mean, you guys have been knocking on the door of that top four, you know, top three, top four. How close do you think you guys are now, just, you know, as the roster is currently composed, if you can get the coaching thing straightened out, how close do you think you guys are to knocking that door down and being really competitive and beating those top couple teams?
Well, you know, I said it in the paper, and some people took it the wrong way, but they kind of misquoted me. They said, "Are you glad Vic Schaefer's out of the conference?" And they quoted me as saying yes, but there was actually it was, yeah, hell yeah, I'm glad he's out of the league. and I mean it in the nicest possible way. They are the only team that we haven't beaten in the last 3 years. You know, quite frankly, we haven't been close. So with that change, I'll be disappointed if we're not considered in the top four next year. I really will. I mean, you know, we've changed that narrative a little bit around preseason rankings to where, you know, we were just happy to get out of the bottom. Let's get in the middle. You know, I told y'all before that Hunter and I used to joke about there being a North and a South and a Central division. So, yeah, no, if we're not being talked about as being competitive with those, the people that are up toward the top, I'll be really disappointed because I think that we've gotten there and that's what we want to do. We want to be there. We didn't start talking about that in year one. We didn't talk about it in year two. We kind of whispered it in year three, but I think it's okay for us to walk in there and expect to win now in year four.
We're talking with Mike Nabors, Arkansas women's basketball coach here on Ruskin and Zach. And I was interesting reading some of this stuff, and I'd love to hear the story now on this relationship with Destiny Slocum that goes way back and is kind of looped all the way around. And now, of course, she is the big acquisition in the portal now. It's fascinating to see that this is a relationship business.
Yeah, it is. And it pays to maintain them and not burn bridges. You know, when sometimes it's easy when a kid tells you no once, twice, or even three times. You know, just wish them the best. And you know, if a chance comes around, you'll be ready again. And that's what this turned out. She called me. She said, "Coach, I saw your quote about our relationship has more turns than the pig trail." She goes, "What's the pig trail?" So I told her, I said, "When you get here, when we go to Little Rock for the first time for some event, me and you will drive down separate in a separate car. We're going to go down the pig trail and you'll understand what I'm talking about." But, I mean, you're talking about a kid that committed to us the first time September the 30th of 2014. Okay? So go back and do that math. I mean, I think that's a long time to have known a kid. And I knew her before that. I mean, she came to our elite camp as going into the ninth, coming out of her ninth grade year. So, yeah, the chance to coach her last year, you know, we can tell the stories. I've told everybody throughout the years. She's a brilliant, nice, magnetic kid. Everybody's going to love her. The stories will get told. But, you know, the gist of it is what you said. It is about relationships. It's about staying there through the good times and the bad. And last year, best year is what I've been telling her. I'm happy that she's going to graduate with a Razorback.
Recruiting's the lifeblood of any program. And how big a luxury is that? High school basketball in the state of Arkansas, particularly on the women's side, I don't think it's ever been at a higher point than it is right now. There are some really, really good players, not just in this class, but next year's class. And you've got a couple that are on the team now. How big a luxury or how nice is it to have a fertile recruiting ground right in your backyard where you can grab, you know, really good basketball players and then sprinkle in what you need from around the country?
Yep. Well, that is one of the – it was the number one thing on the side of the column, the pro column, when we were looking at coming and taking this job from Washington. It was the in-state and the surrounding tank of gas. I call them tank of gases, you know, over in Oklahoma, a little bit up into Missouri. Anybody within a tank of gas of here, there were enough kids all the way down. At that point in time, there were about six classes deep, and we felt like, you know, it'd be hard initially, and we can call her by name. I mean, Kristen Williams was already committed to UConn, and she was probably gone. It's going to be really, really hard to convince not to go to UConn. Didn't have much of a story to tell her. But we felt like there was somebody in every class from that point on, starting with Marquisha and, you know, Alana. And then now going on down into the future classes, there's some all the way down into the lower grades. And I don't need a GPS. I know how to get to all those schools. I don't need to call and get their coaches' cell phone numbers. I've had them for 25 years, back to when I was a high school coach in the state. We don't have to borrow the school plane because we don't need it. We're going to be in a tank of gas. And it is a tremendous luxury, and as you start to get a few of them come in and have good experiences, then it becomes that place that we all hoped it could be, where kids start thinking that this is a potential dream school.
I know a 2029 with a ball hog that loves to shoot, and she'd like to have a word with you. But I mean,
2029.
I just offered the 2039 that's getting ready to be born sometime in the next couple of days. It's a done deal on that one.
Yeah, and boy, you better prepare because this happy mood you're going to be in is just going to change overnight. Oh man,
hey, can you tell me what the heck a push present is?
A push present?
See, you neither one of y'all know what this is.
Nope.
This is a new thing. This is all started by the card companies and these. Whoever started Valentine's Day and Mother's Day, they started this new thing. The mother gets a thing called a push present.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the punchline. What is it?
It's a real thing, guys. It is a real thing. When you have babies 18 years apart like I did, you learn things like this.
Mm.
Okay? The mother of the child gets the present, and it's pretty significant, too. Y'all look it up. Look what I'm talking about.
Push present. All right.
Okay. Well, yeah, we've got people. A push present is about $5,000.
Holy cow.
It's supposed to be, it's like, you know, they always say, you know, your engagement ring is X number of months right. of your salary. I'm looking at this like, what are we talking about here? So anyway, I need some help on that. I need some ideas because I'm right now at a loss.
So you have to get the push present?
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. Wow. That's fun. You know what? Just ignore it. You're the gift. Try that. Just say, look, I'm your gift.
I tried.
Oh, that didn't
I'm
work.
I'm not worth $5,000, though, so that not work. We're going to have to sweeten the pot somehow if it's a $5,000 limit.
Huh. Can you write a song? Like the push song?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I could play it if somebody could write it for me. I'm not sure that's worth
$5,000. Oh, no, I got it. Push it out. Way out. Push it out.
You have taken this thing a completely different direction than where I was intending, but that's okay.
I'm here for you.
Thanks, brother.
I can't remember what my question was. Oh, no. My question to you was, you were talking about the lower grades and grade school girls. And when you guys are having success, and, you know, I know how great you guys are with girls when they come to the games. And I mean, Chelsea's always available. Yep. The girls are always there. Are you seeing some residuals from that where you're seeing familiar faces 100%. That are really good players coming back to you?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. No, it does come back, and it's word spreads fast. And a lot of times you don't initially see it. It's kind of like got a little bit of a hand grenade situation where you throw it out there and it kind of sets there for a while and then explodes. So, all that stuff comes back. You know, the number of people that said, Lex gave me this word of advice, or Chelsea told me this, or Malika told me that, or I saw Devin Cosper, you know, speech. That stuff really hits home, and the things that our players say a lot of time have more impact on these kids. So it's, that's why it's great for these kids to be able to stay around there after the game, win or lose. You know, I make our kids stay out there, win or lose. We don't just stay out there when we win. I want young kids to see that, you know, you win or lose, you hold your head up, you shake somebody's hand after the game, and then you sign an autograph, whether you won or lost. And I think that does have some effect, and I think it's impactful for lots of reasons. But, yeah, we see it in recruiting for sure.
We're talking with Mike Nabors here on Ruskin and Zach. As far as the entire state goes, it isn't what you've been able to do in a short amount of time here, isn't it an encouragement to any Razorback fan that if you put the right people, the right system in place, that any of these programs can be nationally relevant?
Yeah. It's we all know timing and making sure you're surrounded. I mean, there's certain times when the talent in the state hasn't cycled in the right direction, and you might have the right coach at the wrong time or the wrong coach at the right time. I mean, and I'm not telling you I'm the right coach yet. We still got a long way to go to figure that out. But I do know that it was the right time for that. And we'll see if we can now turn it in, you know. We're all going to act like we went to the NCAA tournament last year, even though we didn't physically get to go do it. So, you know, in our talks, we've never had a women's team go to the NCAA tournament back-to-back years since being in the SEC, not one time in 30 years. Hmm. So, you know, we're chasing history yet again. We want to be that team that becomes a perennial bracketologist. You know, if you saw it today, Charlie Cream put out his first bracketology.
I was just going to mention this. Four seed and hosting.
I knew you guys would be on it. Go. I'm trying not to steal your research, but no, go ahead.
Four seed and hosting.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Can we go ahead and print the shirts? I mean, don't screw this up. I'm enjoying this.
I know. Let's book the arena and everybody start getting your hotel rooms. It may be a little premature for that, but again, hey, you know, this is again a sign and a step, and it doesn't mean anything. It certainly doesn't mean we're gonna be in the tournament, but if they're gonna be talking about it, I just shouldn't be talking about us as somebody else. So I'm proud for our kids that they've gotten themselves into that conversation. And we're going to, you know, like we do always, we're going to celebrate these things as they come along. We won't celebrate them too long, but, you know, I'll point it out to the kids that, hey, this is another small reward, another benchmark for you to kind of check off as evidence that what you're doing is recognized.
I'm getting a lot of information here on push presents. If I were you, I would just fake hearing loss and I'd just wander around like I put on a bathrobe and your slippers and just wander around a lot until this is over.
I can pull that off.
This is a terrible idea.
I can pull that off. I'm going to go with that. That's the best idea yet.
Yeah, I don't think this is not going to end well for you, and I'm looking out for your best interest.
No, there's no way it ends well for me. I already know that. I just want somebody else along for the ride with me. If I'm going down, I want somebody else riding with me.
It's looking like jewelry is the safe bet here.
Though. I know. She's not. It's not her. It's not her thing. It's not her thing. I saw, you know, handbags, and things like that. I don't know.
Fruit basket. That's what I'd try.
Jelly of the month club.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Clark, but is this one of those instances where she says she doesn't want it, but she really does? Like, I run into this with flowers all the time. Like, oh, you don't have to get me anything, which is code for you better not screw up, dummy. I mean, that's what it's code for, right?
I don't know. She's sitting here listening. I can't judge by her body language which way it's going. So
what you're...
I'll let you know.
So I'm reading between the lines here. Do I need to clean out my guest room? Yes. Okay.
I'll text you after the call.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. All right.
Well, we got to see how this goes.
So what are we watching now that you're not watching Ozark?
You know what's funny is I saw Grader for the first time. I had never seen that movie. I knew they shot it, you know, over at Farmington and at Gravit using the facility. I remember when they were in the town, I saw a couple of the actors when they were here, but I never sat down and watched it. And when I heard it came on the Netflix, we watched that. We've been watching Last Dance, been doing a lot of that. But I'm going to tell you, I have not watched, along with my daughter's wedding, the impending baby, my son's graduation, you know, we had a flood at our house. We had a pipe bust.
Right.
And now we're starting renovations on it. So I have decided to, and I turned 50 this year. So I just decided to tack six of the top 10 most stressful things you can do in your life all in 1 month. pandemic wasn't on there. I think it would have been. So really, I'm going 7 out of 11. I think.
You need to yell at Wikipedia. It says you're 51, by the way.
Oh,
I am. But I got the year of eligibility back.
Oh, okay. You get 50 twice?
Yeah. Since we didn't get to celebrate and have a full party, I'm like a baseball player. I get to come back.
Now, kids across the state now are going to try this. You know, I didn't get a birthday party. I get two now.
we've invented a new thing there. Push presents have been talked about, and now your second birthday.
You get two birthdays.
You know, I wrote a book a couple years ago on what to, you know, there's the what to expect when you're expecting for women.
Yeah.
I wrote a book. Yep. I wrote the male version of it. It's just a leaflet. It's one word. It just says run.
run, Forrest,
run. So we'll send the fruit basket. You just take off. It'll be good. Promise.
Okay, I'm going to roll with that.
Okay. Mike Nabors with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Well, good luck with everything there, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you.
All right.
Be good.
Mike Nabors and all our guests join us on the Williams Tractor Hotline. That's the best conversation we've ever had with him. You've just heard it right here on Ruskin and Zach. That's the best that's the best conversation we've had with anybody, probably, honestly. That's outstanding.
Extra year of eligibility.
You get two birthdays now.
Oh, man. He's the best.
You know, when is Kenzie's birthday?
July 15th.
Oh, so there may not be party facilities open.
No.
You may have to deal with this. You got two parties now to book.
Man. I gotta be honest. And this is
we don't know what's going to be open July 15th.
No, we don't.
I mean, this could be a double.
You know, I mean, her birthday in July is terrific because the parties are generally small scale because she's not in school. You can't get invites to everybody. It's great.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
but this year nobody got anything to do. Can't go on vacation. Nothing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I was not aware of the push present thing. DQ, were you aware of that? Is that a thing?
I've never heard of
it. Okay. Well, good.
I think I've heard of it, but it's way back here in the, you know, in the recesses of my brain. I don't know a lot about it. So.
Well, clearly, you haven't had to buy a push present.
No, I haven't and will not. So it's a, yeah, that's the thing.
Well, let's hope.
Now, what's a baby moon? You know what? About this?
No.
You know what a baby moon is?
Not a clue.
A baby moon is the trip that the two expecting parents go on before the child comes. That's a trip. You go to some exotic place and you it's the baby moon. You don't know about a baby moon?
No.
Do you know about these gender reveal? These morons, you know, on the internet?
So
that
stupid.
Pop a balloon and all this powder flies out and it's so adorable.
No, it's not. It's dumb.
I say adorable facetiously because it's dumb. I mean, it's...
Okay. The push presents apparently was... the origins are in the Real Housewives series.
Well, that's all you need to know right there.
I mean, like, I don't... Can we do it like a Real Housewives of Kentucky? Can we do that? I'm thinking out loud here.
All right.
I love Coach. He will talk about anything. He doesn't care.
So, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that was in the pocket,
We got all the sports you needed. You got every bit of information you could get out of it from a sports thing. And then we talked, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Not to toot our own horn, but that was in the pocket right there. That was had a good beat and you could dance to it.
The Bad Boys of Arkansas Radio.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
We're back. We're on Ruskin and Zach. Always a treat to catch up with offensive coordinator of the New York Jets, former Razorback Dow Loggins, with us here on the Williams Tractor Hotline on Ruskin and Zach. Dow, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We'll talk your thoughts on Arkansas and Kendall Browse here in a little bit, but I got to ask you, what'd you think of the virtual draft and how that all played out last week?
Hey, you know, it was a unique experience. It's something that we've never had to do. It could be a little bit nerve wracking. We'd be sitting in the middle of draft meetings. I'd be sitting in my office at home, and my son would bust in a draft meeting, and like all of a sudden there's like a big pause, and you're that guy, you know. So, but it was our people did a really good job, and we used Microsoft Teams, which is Microsoft's sponsor of the NFL, and it was a great deal. I know a bunch of people are using Zoom and different things. It was definitely we're in unique times for sure.
I mean, you've got to be thrilled. I mean, they've gotten you, you know, you've got Sam Darnold. They got you a couple of toys to work with, got you a big left tackle, got you a receiver that can flat go. I mean, you have to be smiling now that you've got all of these weapons built around a guy. And you guys had a very strong, you were one of the hottest teams in the AFC. I know I've texted you this before. One of the hottest teams in the AFC at the end of the season last year.
Yeah, you know, we were. And it's a tribute to Sam and a lot of the people in this organization to start the way we did. But we finished 6-2. And obviously Sam missed some games early in the season with some stuff he couldn't control. But we're really excited about how the draft went, really excited about how free agency went. We hired the general manager from the Philadelphia Eagles, Joe Douglas, who does a really good job. And we're fired up about where we're at. And, you know, we're trying to really just do everything we can this time to whenever they say, hey, get back to work, that we're ready to go and, you know, take advantage of all these virtual meetings and doing the things that the NFL allows you to do right now.
Is the you can't be in the facilities and everything. We know that. But on some of these virtual meetings, do you just get the feeling everyone's spirits are higher now that Brady's not in the division anymore?
yeah, I can't lie. Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, you definitely he's you know, such a good player. But They've done a really good job there, building a good program, and they'll still be successful. You know, obviously, any team that loses a franchise player that is maybe the best that ever played, but they're going to be a good competitive team.
So, what have you heard from the league? Obviously, the draft goes off the new. I think the new year league started what the new year started what on the 20th of April or so. What is the league telling you guys about? You know, OTAs and into your summer programs and possibly into, you know, training camp in July.
You know, I don't, and to be honest, the league, I'm sure they're working through a bunch of different things right now. And not just football, but like, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that are probably more important than football and taking care of people's families and taking care of the players and all the people that do such a good job, you know, making the league what it is. And it's really, there's not much talk. They're doing the best they can, trying to figure everything out, coming up with the right plan. And we're just doing our part. It's, you know, like I said, with virtual meetings. And the most important thing is you take advantage of this time, because you could sit around and complain and do all that. But these virtual meetings have been good, and it's been unique. And I think it's really good for – it's been good for everyone, because you're isolated at your house and you can't get out. You're quarantined, but now to get some interaction with the coaches and players, that part's been really, really good.
Yeah, we're talking with Dowell Loggins here, the Jets offensive coordinator, on Ruskin and Zach. The NCAA is having some virtual meetings be allowed as well with coaches and players. You're going through that. How is that kind of teaching, or maybe more, how is that working for you as, you know, being the guy putting the plans in and then doing the instruction there? How's that working virtually versus being in the meeting room going over clips, you know, play after play or whatever?
You know, there's definitely a challenge, because you can't just get on the board and start drawing stuff up. You have a whiteboard set up, and with technology the way it is today, you can pull up the video and you can share your screen, and everyone's looking at the things you're looking at. The first couple times you do it, it's awkward, because you can't see their faces, and all they see is your video screen, and you're talking about plays and doing those things. And it's a little bit awkward, but as you go through, we just finished our first week this week, and you know it definitely is awkward. But like, we're still getting the things we need to get done. Going back through our self scout, going through our cut ups, and trying to correct the mistakes we made from last year.
Have you guys had internal discussions about, you know, what's sort of your drop dead day? When do you feel like you guys would have to make a decision on when this thing goes? Do you need, you know, Brian Kelly was on ESPN saying that the colleges needed 6 weeks. How much time do you guys need for a ramp up, maybe to get into before the season could start?
Yeah, I can't, you know, I honestly not the right person to answer that. I know this, like, we're going to be where our feet are, and we're going to prepare every day as if they say, hey, let's get back to work tomorrow, we're ready to go. And those things are the things we can't control. And it almost becomes wasted energy to think about anything more than the next meeting and preparing and doing the best job you can for the offense and the quarterbacks. And same way for the players. Like, we can all deal in hypotheticals, and we don't know. And I don't know that anyone knows, but you better make the most of the time and the resources you have right now, because that's really the only thing that matters.
Hypotheticals are exhausting. I mean, even for those of us who aren't, you know, planning for a football season, just to hear all the different scenarios on what could happen, it makes your head hurt.
Oh, absolutely. The thing I learned at an early age, my first boss in the NFL was Bill Parcells. My second boss was Jeff Fisher in Tennessee, and he was the master saying, every time someone asks him a hypothetical, I don't deal with hypotheticals.
That's a good way. I'd like to get that with my kids. That'd be very, very beneficial.
With their kids, wives, all of it.
Okay, let's talk about something I know that's very near and dear to your heart, Razorback football. You've had a chance to kind of observe from afar the last couple of seasons, and you and I have had this conversation about what is it about this place that is so unique that maybe the previous staff didn't understand that what I mean, if you're looking at, you know, qualities in a head coach, what do you see in Sam Pittman as being sort of the right fit?
Well, number one, Zach, I'm still a little disappointed in you that you didn't have Matt Jones in your top five as a quarterback. The streets are talking. That did get back to me. But you were smart enough to put Joe Ferguson in the top five. So,
and I think, hang on. When I say quarterback, I'm thinking like Sam Darnold in the pocket throwing a ball. Top five athlete, absolutely.
But I think the week you said that, he might have been the SEC player of the week or so, like, decade player of the week or something.
I have an impeccable sense of bad timing.
you know, it's interesting when you get to go through these draft processes, you rely a lot on the college coaches, and so you develop these relationships with these guys, because you got to call, and they're developing players to our level, and you develop relationships by calling and asking these guys. You figure out the guys you can trust. And, you know, I talked to Coach Pittman a couple weeks ago about a couple of his guys. And, I mean, what an awesome draft for him, right? Like,
yep.
Two first-round linemen. It's huge credit to what a coach he is. And I've talked to him, and I could feel how genuine he was. And I got on the phone thinking, like, man, what a great guy. And but the impressive thing was, as he's talking and he's selling his players, he's telling you everything, you also know, you could just feel that the strengths and weaknesses, the weaknesses he told me, he told his players. And I just think you could feel like that genuine man, and you could feel like, hey, this guy's a guy that's going to coach the guy hard. He's going to develop the player as well and develop the man. It was really impressive. Just to see, because he did a really good job, coaching these two guys win the first round. He's got a long track record. You know, when I got off the phone, though, I was excited. Like, wow, this guy's a really good person. I'm glad he's sitting in my alma mater right now, and we're pulling for him for sure.
Well, that's the thing that I think Zach and I would agree. We've talked to him a couple times here on the show, and it's I think this state just kind of got burned out on slogans. Like, slogans weren't doing anything, and he's not a slogan guy. He's said that before, and he's very open about, you know, this is going to be something we'll deal with. We may have to do this or that, but he's also, he's on top of this stuff. He's got a plan. Everyone's going to keep saying he has a plan, and I think it's evident.
Yeah, and I think that it just comes out in who he is. I think that he's going to coach the man first, and in doing that, they're going to become the best student athlete they could be. He's going to set them up to be successful after life. But he's also developing guys to play at the next level, which is impressive. The slogan thing, now, we do have yes, sir, though, right?
We yes. do, yes.
Like, we do have a slogan, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're in good hands. I'm excited about him. We got a guy that's got a lot of character and brings a lot of credibility, coaching the SEC for a long time at a bunch of different programs, and he's got great mentors.
I'm going to ask you a question that's right in your wheelhouse. This is a schematic question.
Yeah.
Whenever they say, you know, whenever you talk about the golden days, the glory days of Arkansas offense, we talk about Bobby Petrino's offense. I sent you some information last night. Can you give me, in layman's terms, a basic understanding of the difference between, like, what Bobby Petrino ran, which was a pro-style offense, sort of like what you guys run, versus what Kendall Briles is going to run, which is a spread everybody out, go fast? What's the essential difference, other than tempo, in scheme between those two styles of offense?
Well, number one, I'm gonna correct you right there, because a lot of people that are my age would say the golden days of Arkansas football are Ken Hatfield winning Cotton Bowls and went averaging 9 wins a season with Quinn Grovey. We're running the triple option. Yeah. But no.
It helps when you got that Barry Foster guy back there, too. That helps a ton.
All of them. And Quinn Grovey, Barry Foster, you know, Edie Jackson, James Roush, all those guys. I think that you can win a lot of different ways. And I learned this at an early age. I don't think it's what you do, it's how you do it. And you better do it better than everyone else. Well, I think what Coach Petrino did was he coached the passing game better than everyone in that conference at that time. And he knew how to practice. He knew how to rep things. He knew how to put pressure on the quarterbacks to get the most out of them. He developed the quarterbacks. He did a great job with Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson, two guys that I have a lot of respect for. I got to coach Tyler in Tennessee and always had a good friendship with Ryan Mallett. And I think that's what he did. His schemes were great, for sure. He ran a pro-style offense in college football, but he coached it. He coached the details better than everybody. He practiced better than everyone. He demanded all those things, and it showed up. Practice execution becomes game day reality, and it was fun. Those years he was there, he was lighting up scoreboards, and it was a blast to watch. And Coach Briles will bring a different. He's going to bring a different style, and any style can be successful. The most important thing is that they're able to get the things and the principles of the offense taught and how they see it, and they get the execution they want. It'll look different. It'll be a no-huddle, tempo, spread offense that a lot of people are running in college football right now. And I'm really excited to see, though, how the wide splits, and, you know, they're a little bit different than a lot of people. When you go back and you watch Baylor and how wide their receiver splits are, how they create numbers in the run game, the RPOs and the bubble screens and stretch people horizontally and vertically.
You've got a guy, and I'm going to ask you just kind of a, this is, okay, I'm going to nerd out on you for a second. You've got a guy coming in this year, a wide receiver out of Baylor. You got Denzel Mims. I mean, this guy can flat go. Yeah. He can run. He can catch. He's a big dude. What's the learning curve like coming out of a spread offense in college? And this is a true spread offense that they ran at Baylor to something like you do. What I mean, what is that learning curve like? Because you always hear how much trouble quarterbacks from spread systems have for a wide receiver or for some of these kids that have never dealt with the minutia that you deal in.
Right. I think the biggest aspect becomes, especially from the college to the pro game, is the protections. And, you know, there's just the volume of them, the different look. The 20-hour rule really, like, restricts college coaches to being able to do everything that they know. And they, you know, just can't teach everything where they get 20 hours a week. We're getting 20 hours a day. I mean, we're getting these guys from 7:30 in the morning to 7 p.m. So I think the difference, just the volume of things that come. So is there a difference? Well, you know, we drafted, when I was in Tennessee, we drafted Kendall Wright from Baylor, and he had a chance to play with for Coach Arbile. And his first year in the league, I think he led the league in third down receptions and 95 catches. And it was an adjustment because there was his routes, he had to be bigger in the NFL. And there were certain things because they don't need that to win in college football. They are trying to create numbers, angles, and grass, and they're trying to spread you out horizontally and attack you that way, where what happens in pro football is you got to go win on a comeback one-on-one. And so the numbers and the space and the hashes are different, and the game is a little bit different that way, with especially if you play in the pro style, in a tempo offense, a spread offense, it is different in the NFL.
We're talking with Dow Loggins, Jets offensive coordinator here, former Razorback, on Ruskin and Zach. We brought him up a little bit earlier in the conversation. I got to get a story about you. You have a front row seat for Matt Jones. You're there signaling the plays in during his college career. What is the moment? Tell us a story or two where the play comes in and it doesn't go the way it's supposed to, but he ends up either scoring or having a long run, and you're like, well, that worked out.
Oh, well, I mean, I could tell you millions of them. Millions of them. The funny story with the whole thing is, so Matt was a couple of years younger than me, and when we got there, our quarterback room, it was a great room, the NFL players, Matt Jones, Tavares Jackson, Ryan Soran, Zach Clark, myself. And at the time, we didn't know. I mean, we're seeing T-Jack. He's got the strongest arm we've ever seen next to Joe Ferguson, and we're sitting there, and, man, this guy's good. And all of a sudden, like, Matt Jones has this huge game or a huge scrimmage one day, and we're like, oh, okay. And like, wow, this guy is like, he's so like, he's just lackadaisical in his movement, and he's so chill. So Coach Nutt grabs me one day. He's like, hey, I need your room with Matt Jones. I'm like, Coach, I don't want a room with Matt Jones, man. We're different. And he's like, no, I need you to room with him. I need you to get it right. I'm like, Coach, I'm going to choke him. And this guy's a foot taller than me, and you guys are going to find me in a hotel room the night before the game, like, unconscious. Like, he's like, no, I need your room with him. And after that, like, I just developed such a tremendous respect for the guy because he could do anything on the football field. Now, his first love, he'll tell you, is basketball. And he used to drive me nuts. But, man, you're going to be first round. Like, as talented as you are, you're 6'6". You run 4.37. You're the most, at that time, he was the most electrifying player in college football and the SEC, Zach, not just Arkansas. Yeah. But, and just the way he could take over a game. I mean, it's play after play. You go back and all the overtime games. I mean, we're playing the first one, the seventh heaven. We're playing Eli Manning at Ole Miss. And we're drawing stuff. 2-point plays are out. Like, yeah, I mean, there's no more extra points. And we're drawing stuff up in the dirt. We're throwing touchdown passes to Jason Peters, who's going to be a Hall of Fame left tackle, who's our tight end, and Matt's running around. It turns into street ball, and those are the things. Then you go to Kentucky, and it's the same thing. It was, you just knew good things were going to happen when the ball was in his hands, and he could improvise so well, and you know, it just, all those magical plays he made, Miracle on Markham, and we're down 17-7, and I think Coach Nutt told the story. I don't think he's thrown a spiral all day.
Yeah.
And we're getting hammered. And Tally hits the big run, and then all of a sudden, you start feeling it, and you could see Matt, like, kind of, he's like, we're good. I'm like, hey, let's go. Hey, we're good. I got it. Like, no, man, let's go. We got, hey, we're good. We're good. And you just never felt like, hey, we're not out of this game ever with Matt, because, you know, in a split second, he's gone. It's a 60-yard touchdown, and to bring the team back the way he did so many different times and to win so many different ways, like, it was an awesome experience. I was glad I got to be a part of it and got to watch it, you know, go to the SEC championship game and win 9 games and beat Texas in Austin. It was, wow, what a great experience.
We got about a minute left. I actually want to talk about an All-American quarterback. How's my guy BQ doing?
Oh, Brady?
Yeah.
He's probably depressed right now because he can't get in the gym. You know, he's in sitting at Fort Lauderdale. He can't lift. And, that, you know, he's like the slowest quarterback to ever enter the NFL draft. So that's probably killing him. He's had to stay inside more. So, you know, he's pasty, no tan. You know, he's probably struggling.
I think we're all that way. I'm just swollen and pasty in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. We accept that, though.
That's my lot in life.
That's right.
Yeah, it's different for Brady. He has a higher standard than we do.
Del Loggins, Jets offensive coordinator, with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Thanks for the time, man. Stay safe, all right?
Oh, definitely. Thank you guys, man.
Del Loggins, former Razorback, with us here on Ruskin and Zach. All our guests join us on the Williams Tractor Hotline here on the program. That's fun.
He's awesome.
I'm just imagining, like, it's just when Matt Jones just start running and you're on the sideline, well, hang on to something. Here you go. What's this going to be? 9-yard loss? No, 49-yard run. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Amazing. I mean, just maybe the greatest ad-libber that they've ever had in the football program. I mean, just making it up.